Do you long to hear the voice of God? I hope you do. Many people do. In fact, I have found that in these days, with a culture that seems to be trending more and more away from Christianity, that there is still a sense of longing for something of meaning, something of eternal value and weight. And while they may not recognize it, there is a longing in the hearts of our world to hear God, to know Him, to be right with Him. You may have even come here this morning with a bit of skepticism. You may have come thinking, well, I'm not so sure about this church thing, but they say that this is a place where you might hear from God, and so I'll give it a try. It's that sense deep down that you do indeed want to hear from God. And these first two verses of Hebrews will give you some direction. They give you something of an invitation and a roadmap. They invite you to hear from God by hearing from the Son, Jesus Christ. And that Son has recorded his word to us throughout the entirety of Scripture, both Old and New Testament. But this passage is going to highlight especially the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that word is for us today. I'm going to begin by giving you something of an introduction to the book of Hebrews so that you can understand what these four verses are about. And then I'm going to give you four different comparisons that this author uses to help you to see the importance of listening to the Word of God through the person of Jesus Christ. So, by way of introduction, whenever you start a book, you ask some questions. Who is the author? Who wrote this? Why did he write it? And in this book, as biblical scholars look at it, there is something of an interesting debate about who wrote it. Some say it was the Apostle Paul. Others will argue for Barnabas or Luke or Apollos, and there's some interesting give and take about that. The author never identifies himself, like Paul often does in lots of his letters, where he says, the Apostle Paul, writing this with his own hand, writes to you, the Galatians, or the Ephesians, or so on. Well, we don't have that in this book, and so it opens up to some interesting questions. And I tend to think that it was probably the Apostle Paul, but it's not that important to argue over who the author is, because the purpose of the message comes through very, very clearly. The question is, why was this author writing? And it comes through very well in the title that has come to be given to this letter. It's called the Letter to the Hebrews, or to use a term that might be more familiar today, the Letter to the Jews. Later in this letter, in chapter 3, there's something of a summary that the author gives. The author says, therefore, brothers. He's speaking to fellow Jews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus. Here is the author appealing to fellow Jews to listen, to think about, to weigh who this person, Jesus Christ, is. And he calls him the apostle and high priest of our confession. It appears then that the readers knew who Jesus was. They may have even started out following after Jesus as something of a disciple of his. But then after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, after his, in a sense, departure, the church underwent quite a bit of persecution. Those who had rejected Jesus among the Jews leveled all sorts of accusations against the disciples. They even began to hunt them down and to persecute them. They threw them into prison. They even put some to death. And so those Jews who had begun to follow after Jesus faced a very serious temptation. And that temptation was to turn away from Jesus. And in turning away from Jesus, it appears that they reverted back to what they were familiar with. And isn't that how many people react when they experience trouble? They revert back into something that's comfortable, something that they know. And for the Jews, what they knew was the Old Testament Judaism. Now, one of the arguments that Hebrews is going to make is that Old Testament Judaism is an anticipation of Jesus Christ, and Jesus comes in fulfillment of that. And so there should be, in a sense, a same faith that the Old Testament Jews express that we do today. But what was happening for the Jews is when they had seen Jesus in his fulfillment and turned away from him, they made Old Testament Judaism into something that it was not. They cut it off from the Savior. And when they did that, they made the Old Testament into a system of salvation by works. And so the author of Hebrews recognizes the dangerous position of his brothers and sisters, and he implores them, do not turn away from Jesus. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our souls. Do not turn away from Jesus. And so he begins this letter with this passionate plea to hear God, to listen to what he has to say. And to the Jews, he has this very pointed appeal that the same God who spoke in the Old Testament is the same God who has spoken to us now in Jesus Christ. That fundamental truth is what these first two verses are about. And the author urges you to listen to God by listening to Christ. To listen to God by listening to Christ. And that's my appeal to you today as well, that you would listen to Christ. We listen to him through reading and understanding both Old and New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ. The author does this by making four comparisons. And if you like to take notes, these are going to rise right out of these verses. So I hope to be able to show you where these four comparisons come from. And the first comparison is a comparison between times past and these last days. That's the first comparison. And the comparison starts with a connection. God spoke in times past, and he has now spoken in these last days. What the author is doing is he is saying something very important to his fellow believers, his fellow Jews. He says to the Jews that you know very well that God revealed himself in the Old Testament. That would be something that they were comfortable with. They understood that the Old Testament scriptures were given by God. But what they needed to know is that the God who had revealed himself in the Old Testament has now revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And that connection is something that is vitally important for believers in every age. The Jews needed to hear it so that they would understand that the same God is at work revealing himself. We need to know that because we need to know that God has revealed himself truthfully throughout the entirety of Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. You get a strong sense of continuity that comes then throughout the entirety of Scripture by knowing that it is the same God who is speaking. But you do also get a sense of contrast. And that contrast can be summarized in the words of promise in the Old Testament and fulfillment in the New Testament. All throughout the Old Testament, God's revelation has a note of anticipation and a note of longing, of looking forward to something that God was about to do. You know that through the promises of the Messiah that are given. You know that through the whole sacramental and sacrificial system of the Old Testament. There is always this sense of looking forward to the Redeemer that would come. In fact, the first promise of that comes in the opening chapters of the Bible. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, when man first sinned against God, you find the very first promise of Jesus. God comes to Adam and Eve and he says, cursed are you because of sin. And he curses the snake and he speaks of the curse that falls on Adam and on Eve. But he doesn't leave them there. He says, I will also send a redeemer. The seed of the woman, the child of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent. That's the very first promise of Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures go on in the Old Testament to give types and shadows of the coming of Jesus Christ. Those are found in the promises of a Redeemer's blood that would bring forgiveness of sin. There is one who would rescue us from the flood of sin. There would be a king after the line of David. Promise after promise that anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. And in these last days, God has once again revealed himself. And there is fulfillment of all of those promises. There is fulfillment by the work and the word of Jesus Christ. So all of those things in the Old Testament that were anticipated are now seen in the fullness of light of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard it put this way, that the new is in the old but concealed, and the old is in the new but revealed. There's that sense of continuity. But that phrase also gives the contrast of promise and fulfillment that come in Jesus Christ. One author calls that continuity a scarlet thread of redemption that is woven all throughout the scriptures. And isn't that just a fascinating way to put that, that all throughout the scripture there is a thread, a bright red thread, the scarlet thread of redemption. And you can you can pull on that thread in the Old Testament, and it will lead you inevitably to Jesus. And you can find that thread woven all throughout the tapestry of the Old Testament. Just in saying that, I invite you in this coming year, as you read the Bible, and as you read the Old Testament, to look for that scarlet thread of redemption. Because there is continuity, there's promise, and there's fulfillment that runs throughout all of Scripture. Well, that's the first thing that the author says. He says that the God who revealed himself in the old has now revealed himself in Jesus. The second contrast is that he compares how it was revealed. In the Old Testament, it was by the prophets. And in the New Testament, it is in the Son, Jesus Christ. It has to do with messengers. In fulfillment of God's promises, Jesus came to reveal the Father to mankind. You get a sense of this from Jesus' own words and the way the apostles speak about him. So listen to this from John chapter 1. The apostle John says in chapter 1, starting at verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Something we celebrate at Christmas time, isn't it? The incarnation. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him." That's how the Apostle John summarizes the coming of the Savior. That Jesus came from the bosom of the Father to reveal God to us. Jesus says as much in his own ministry. Jesus is aware of his purpose. Don't believe some of the movies that come out about Jesus that suggest that he didn't know who he was or why he came. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew that he was God himself come in the flesh and come for a purpose of redemption. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." There's a self-awareness there that Jesus has of his purpose to come to reveal God to us. And in John 15, verse 15, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." The point is that in times past, the messengers were prophets. Men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And their message was true. They were speaking the words of God. But they were, after all, only messengers. But Jesus is the Son. Jesus is no mere carrier of a message. Jesus is God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity who has come to reveal God to us. And that contrast raises Christ in our eyes because of the fullness of that revelation that he brings to us. The Jews in Jesus' day needed to hear that. When they turned from Jesus Christ, they cut themselves off from that fullness of revelation to go back into the shadows and the messengers that were true, but were still types and shadows of the reality, which is Jesus Christ. The third connection and contrast is more of an implied connection. It starts with the words that that the author gives. Verse 1 says that God spoke at various times and in various ways in times past. And this refers to the fact that God in the Old Testament used a variety of different authors. Those are the messengers that we were talking about. He spoke over hundreds of years, and sometimes he used different means in which to reveal himself. There were times when he spoke directly. Think of when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, and the appearance of God was manifested by a cloud that descended on Mount Sinai. And there was thunder and lightning, and the earth was quaking because of the presence of the Lord. God sometimes revealed himself that way in physical manifestations, in audible sounds. But there were other times that God spoke through the prophets, through what we would say would be dictation. They stood for God and they said, "Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord." And they would speak out what God gave for them to speak. Other times, God used their creative personality, their voice, to structure what he wanted them to write. That's why in the New Testament it says that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were borne along by that so that what they wrote was God-breathed, literally. That's what Paul describes it in Timothy, is that God breathed the scriptures. It is the voice of God. So various times, various ways are part of the Old Testament. The implied comparison then comes in the person of Jesus. There is a unified voice and a unified person that brings God to us, that brings that revelation. And there's something of a dramatic element to this last voice that is given. In the Old Testament, God spoke in various times and in various ways. The last one, the last prophet of God in the Old Testament, I wonder if any of the children remember what the last book of the Old Testament is. It is Malachi. Is that right? Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. He's the last prophet of God. And you know how many years were between Malachi and Jesus? 400 years. 400 years of something of silence. Now, they did have the law and the prophets. They had God's word, so it wasn't exactly silence. But God was not communicating in the ways that they anticipated. He was not inspiring prophets to speak for 400 years. And then, all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, who speaks for God, who is God, and comes to reveal the Father to us. And his appearance and his manner were noticeable. as Jesus teaches, you see even the Pharisees and the scribes flocking to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And the people recognized the difference. They had the teachers of the law, but they said, this Jesus is something else. He speaks with authority. There was a quality to that revelation that Jesus brought. It was recognizable. And they were drawn to that word of the Lord that Jesus was bringing. He came and he spoke in a single, unified voice and message, declaring the truth of the Father to us. Well, this comparison gives helps us to understand something of the Old Testament. There is a partial and progressive nature to the Old Testament, whereas in the New Testament there is a fullness to that revelation that comes in Jesus Christ. Once again, it's not that the Old Testament wasn't true. It is veiled, though, in that shadow of anticipation. It's veiled by the fact that we don't see Jesus clearly yet. One illustration of this that I've always liked is that given by a man named Palmer Robertson as he describes the covenants of God. And he says in the Old Testament, God was gradually revealing his purpose to mankind. So imagine that you have gone to see a play at school or a play in the theater. And you know that at the theater that there are curtains on the stage, right? Curtains that can be drawn back so that you can see what's on the stage. And as the illustration goes, in the Old Testament, God was gradually drawing back the curtains. And in that gradual drawing back, you can't see the fullness of what God's ultimate purpose is. What you see is true, just not a full picture. But when Jesus comes, the curtains are thrown wide open so that you can see that unified, redemptive purpose of God in Jesus Christ. Well, what's fascinating about that illustration is that as you understand the fullness of what God has come to do, you recognize that standing at center stage has always been Jesus. He's always been there. And even in that gradual drawing back, Jesus is there. And that will help, again, as you read the Old Testament, that scarlet thread of redemption. Well, now think of looking for Jesus as the curtains are being drawn back. As you read the Old Testament, look for Jesus, and you'll find that he is standing there at center stage. The last comparison is about the audience. In times past, God revealed himself various times in various ways to our fathers. But in these last days, he has revealed himself to us. And the author is very personal at this point. He speaks here passionately to his fellow Jews. And in doing so, there's a sense of timelessness that makes these words come right to us as well. So remember that the author was writing to Jews who, because of persecution, were turning away from Jesus. They were reverting and clinging to the Old Testament as God's words to them. But the same God who had spoken in times past, the author says, has now spoken to us through Jesus. The Jews needed desperately to know that Jesus' words were for them, that God intended them to hear these words as and to take it for what it was, God's revelation to them. While they should hold on to God's word in the Old Testament, what they were in danger of doing was of cutting themselves off from God's word given in the new, in Jesus Christ. The necessity of this message is to hang on to Christ, to hang on to that revelation that the Lord has given through old and new. And as I've said, unfortunately, the Jews were tempted to plug their ears to Jesus Christ. They refused to see the light of Jesus in the Old Testament, and so they disconnected it from its ultimate meaning of redemption. And their hearts became darkened to the meaning that was there. In reality, they darkened their own hearts to Jesus. We face, I would suggest, a similar danger today of darkening our hearts to Jesus. All too often in the modern church, there is something of, well, my conversations, I would say, something of a longing to hear the voice of God, but it is expressed and sought after without any connection to Christ, without any connection to his word. And so there's this this longing for visions. There's longing for speaking in tongues or gifts of prophecy. And those longings, those efforts to hear the word of God have turned away from Jesus and essentially have plugged their ears to what Jesus has come to say and to do. My concern for that is that in doing so, in plugging our ears to Christ, that we can so easily come to turn away from the redemption that is proclaimed by him and through him. We can come to follow after clever stories and inventions that miss the point of a Savior who came to die on the cross for our sins. The revelation of Jesus Christ is a revelation that spans all of Scripture, old and new. And it comes to its climax. It comes to its fulfillment in Jesus. And when you have that fullness of revelation, there is a real satisfaction in that. And the longing that you have to hear God, if you turn away from Jesus, it will never be met. You may fulfill it some ways with some curiosities or something that you think is fantastic, but it will not have Jesus. So today, do you long to hear the voice of God? I hope you do. I hope you long to hear God. And I hope that you find it in Jesus. Jesus is the subject of all of Scripture, old and new. It is that scarlet thread of redemption that runs throughout all of Scripture. God has spoken and revealed himself in times past, in various times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has revealed himself to us, to you and to me, through Jesus Christ. And he's given a record of that in the New Testament, of the words and the works and the explanation of Jesus Christ that the apostles give. We know it as the New Testament. My appeal to you then is, if you want to hear the voice of God, is to read your Bible. To cling to the word of God that is given here in his word. It is the words of Jesus Christ, the revelation that he guides through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Both of them speak of that Redeemer and our forgiveness of sins. So read the Bible. Read all of it. It is all God's word. At the beginning of the year, it is a good time to even set out a plan to read through the Bible. If you're interested, there are a variety of ways that you can do that. And I or Pastor Brad or your elders here can tell you of different plans to read through the Bible. In it, you will find Jesus. You will hear God. That's my prayer for you in this coming year, is that you would long to hear God, that you would seek that out in his word. Let's pray. Well, God, thank you that you have indeed revealed yourself to us, and that we turn to you with our mouths open wide, asking that you would fill us with honey from the rock, that you would fill us with your word, which is true. And I pray, O Lord, that we would hear and see Jesus revealed in all of Scripture, that we would come to follow after him more and more in the days to come. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.